So tickt Berlin. Dein Podcast von und mit Nikolai Tegeler.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer brandneuen Ausgabe von So tickt Berlin. Ja, ich bin gerade auf Tour. Und mein heutiger Gast, der sitzt mir quasi gegenüber und das ist sozusagen eine Sonderausgabe, denn wir sind gar nicht in Berlin, wir sind zurzeit in Zürich. Es ist sehr kalt draußen und wir befinden uns in einem Hotel im Foyer und wir hören wieder quasi im Hintergrund ein paar Leute sprechen. Aber mein heutiger Gast ist ein großartiger Typ, er versteht kaum Deutsch. Und wenn ihr ihn jetzt sehen könntet, dann sitzt er eigentlich nur da und guckt mir zu. Hey, welcome, John.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. It's so great that we still know each other for almost, I think I started in that show in 2016, right? Wow. So you're my English brother.
That's true. You're my German brother. 8 years.
Could you believe that?
Yeah.
So time goes by.
Very fast. Oh. Welcome to Zurich.
Yeah, welcome to Zurich. Yeah. I told them that we are already in Zurich.
Okay, okay.
So we started the whole tour in Dresden. Yep. 7 days ago, right? Yeah. Last Monday. Mm. Could you believe that? My goodness. Yeah. So you're doing this show, John, for almost 20 years. Is that true?
I guess. 2001 I joined it. It was maybe 2002, the third year it started, I joined. But it hasn't been running all the time.
Yeah.
It's like some years it doesn't work at all. So yeah. It's not like 20 years every year. But you know, I think we average about maybe 2 or 3 months a year, maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes three months.
Playing in Berlin as well.
Yeah, but 20 years is a long time.
Could you believe that?
I can't believe it. It's gone that fast.
Is there another life without the shows?
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yeah, yes. It fits in. I mean, it's great. And like I said, the fact that it's only a few months a year, and sometimes it's not at all. Some years we don't play at all, so there's life outside it. But it's a great show. It's fun to be part of. The people are great, and we get to play to, you know, these amazing people.
Yeah, unbelievable. So yeah. I do that since 2016, and it's always great on tour, right? It's hard. You always feel... Yeah, this year we have a good bus, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel so comfortable in that. So how often you were already in Zurich?
I've been here, I can't remember. We've probably been here every year the show's run, so probably 20 times or more, and a few times outside in here as well.
So unbelievable.
Yeah, so a lot of times. I like Zurich.
I turn in German and then we'll come back in English again. Ja, es ist unglaublich. Wir sind quasi mit, also diese Stars in Concert Show, All You Need Is Love, ist über 20 Jahre alt und John ist quasi seit 2001 dabei. Wir touren immer wieder. Ich bin seit 2016 dabei und das ist für mich schon eine riesen lange Zeit. Das ist unglaublich. Aber jetzt wollen wir ja nicht nur über diese Show sprechen, sondern auch ein bisschen über John Brosnan selbst. John, you still used to be, or you're a really good musician. So you started this show as a musician. What did you before? What is your lifetime job? What are you doing during the day? You're well prepared, and you're still very well known in the Beatles, of course. But how you started with that show, and what did you before the show?
Right. Well, I was a musician, but not in theater, in original music.
Yeah.
Playing in clubs and bars and some recordings and things. So I was just a musician, really. Well, I say just, but just a musician. And then, I sort of fell into the Beatles. It was by accident. I was working in a place in London with a singer, and we were doing our own music and some covers, and she'd just come off tour with U2.
Ah, wow.
Yeah, so we're playing this club, and this guy came up to me in the club, in the bar we're playing after the show, and he said, I have a Beatles band. Do you want to play in it? And I said, no, I don't do that. This kind of thing.
Why?
So I said, no. Oh, because it was never in my mind. I didn't know what it meant. You know? So I said, no. And then he got my number. He gave me his number. Yeah. So he kept calling me a few times. And I kept saying, no, no. and then I broke my hand.
Oh, okay.
In an accident, I couldn't play, and he called me, and I couldn't play. So I couldn't play for months. And then I had permanent damage to, so I had three fingers left that worked.
Oh no!
So he called me one day and said, "I've got a gig next week."
Yeah.
A Beatle gig. And I thought, well, I'm sitting home practicing every day. I thought, how hard can the Beatles be?
Yeah.
So and he'll pay me £200. So I said, okay. So I went and did the show.
Wow.
And it was not very good. I was terrible because I couldn't. I only had three fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
So I played the show and I did, I think, two shows with him. And on the second show, some other guy came along and he said, I've got a tour of Norway with the Beatles show. Can you do it? I said, okay. So I did 2 weeks in Norway. And then I got a call from an agent who knew these people and they wanted a show for All Needs Love.
Yeah. In Berlin.
In Berlin. Yeah. They said, can you be in Hamburg in the morning?
No way.
Ooh. So I didn't know it was a show. I just thought it was a gig. Right?
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know the Beatles. I didn't know the songs. Really, I only know a few of them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I get to Berlin and I meet a producer, Bernhard, and
yeah. Right,
and we got a show starting the next day. And they got all these songs I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
And costumes, and it was a musical. So I was like, so
paralyzed.
But they were so desperate because it was last minute, they didn't have one. So I spent that night in my hotel room learning all the songs.
Yeah.
Learning the ones I didn't know. And then after that, they asked me to stay. And that's how I fell into the Beatles.
Jesus so Christ.
Then through an accident, a broken hand.
So
it's funny, really, isn't
yeah.
it?
yeah, it's so funny because I started with the Beatles. I still know the Beatles, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Everyone knows the Beatles, but right. I was not a fan of mm. that music. You know, I still like one or right, two yeah. songs, but after this show, I became a fan of the Beatles because I realized that this group, what they did in almost 6 or 7 years mm. still happened today, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They influenced a lot of other
of course yeah
big
yeah.
bands right now, and it yeah. is unbelievable what yeah, they yeah. did, right?
Yeah, exactly. My older brother and
yeah.
sister had a few late Beatle albums,
uh-huh.
not, you know, just the last two or something
yeah.
in the house. So I heard the last two albums of the Beatles like as a kid in my dress. But it's interesting because when I was at school,
yeah,
there were some kids in the year above me, and they were musicians, and they had a band.
Uh huh.
And I just went. I was obsessed with guitar, but no one knew. And one day at school, and it's funny that it turned out to be a Beatles song. There was a guitar lying around, and so I sort of picked up and played, and no one knew I could play.
Yeah.
And so I played a solo from actually Nowhere Man from the Beatles.
No.
And this kid heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ran off and he told these kids, he goes, there's a kid over here who knows how to play the solo to It No In My Life.
Yeah.
So this cool kid comes in, really, he was a great musician, great guitar player, and he comes in really cool and he goes, I hear you can play guitar. He goes, play something for me. So I got in the band, in
cool.
the school band.
Cool.
So that was the start of it. So it's actually funny that it was a Beatles song that then I never did it again, Beatles, right?
But
then, you know, all those years later,
yeah,
15 years later, or 20, no, maybe longer, I end up being in a Beatles show. So,
unbelievable,
crazy.
So, and how did you start it with George Harrison? Because you know you play the role of George Harrison in the musical
right.
All You Need Is Love. So, you started with the Beatles, but not as George Harrison, right?
Well, when that guy asked me, after a broken hand, and that guy asked me to do it, I didn't know what a Beatle tribute show was.
Oh, okay.
I was so naive. I wasn't in that world.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was just, you just come and play the songs. But when I got to this first gig, because he just said, wear black trousers and a white shirt. And I thought, oh, it's a corporate event, a gala.
Ah.
So I turn up, and then he comes, and they've got wigs and costumes, and we're going, I don't understand what's happening. So he made me wear a wig, and I go, I don't wear wigs. Because I was so naive. And so they made me do it, and I hated it. But then I realized that people actually try to beat, you know, like,
yeah,
act
yeah.
like them and play like them, because I just learned the songs, but I didn't learn, you know. Anyway, and then when I did that Norway thing, then it sort of, I realized that that's what happens. And then when I got to this show, they expect you to be a little bit like the Beatles. So it was really, I was just, you know, I was going, this, I walked into like the twilight zone, you know. It's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
Then I got to learn about what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's all these other people around, all these bands around the world doing the same. And I go, I didn't know it existed. It's weird.
Wow.
Yeah, so in the deep end.
Have you ever met someone, maybe Paul McCartney or George Harrison?
No, I haven't met Paul McCartney. I haven't met George Harrison either, but when I first joined this show,
yeah,
Astrid.
And Astrid
from the Beat came.
No way.
And Pete Best came from Beatles and Cynthia Lennon. So I met Astrid.
Yeah.
And we got to talking. And so then, and she really, well, she's dead now, but she said, she was very close with George.
Yeah.
In fact, she said she was in love with George.
But, of course, yeah.
She said, I love the way you do it because you're so a little bit shy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't show off. On stage.
Like George Harrison.
Like George Harrison. And she goes, and then the next time I saw her, she goes, I told George, there's a lovely boy playing, doing you in a show, and he's wonderful. So she told George about me.
Oh, cool.
So that's the closest I've got to.
He was in the show, but.
Well, I don't know, but yeah.
This is cool. Yeah. So before joining Stars in Concert, what was your musical journey like? Were the Beatles always a major influence for you? No, you told.
Well, yes and no. Yeah. I was aware of their record. I love the records, but I didn't know all their early songs.
Yeah,
I never heard them.
Ah,
I was a bit behind. So I knew their later songs, like their last two albums, last three albums. But I love their music. But I listened to like Hendrix and the Stones, and you know all the sort of my older siblings.
Yeah.
Records. All the because I was 10 years younger than them, so.
Cool.
So they're an influence, yeah. But I played, I guess by the time I was like 18, I was in the 80s. So I was influenced by 80s bands more, probably late 70s, 80s bands as much as anything.
But I read something.
Because when I was working as a musician, the 80s pop was around.
But I read something about that you made it in the top 100.
I did I worked with an artist in America. I lived in America for years, and I worked with an artist called Lydia Price.
Uh-huh.
And so she was signed to Sony Records.
Oh wow!
So
yeah.
I got in New York. She was looking for a guitar player and someone to come audition. I auditioned and I got the gig. So we went to rehearse at Sony's facility in New York once a week, and we recorded some live things. I didn't play on her hit. Because now the band played on the hit, studio people playing that. But we were about to record an album, and we did all the pre-work for it, and that song was in the top 100.
Wow!
So she was a top 100 artist, but then we were with Sony for a year, I think, and they stopped promoting. They didn't do anything, and it all just fell apart.
Wow!
So it was a failure.
No, but I read that about, and your name is, someone like me could expect. You did a hit in the top 100.
Oh, I wish it was my hit, but it wasn't my hit. But I was with the band.
But you're part of that. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
What was the biggest challenge in portraying a legendary musician like George Harrison? Is there something like you? Because you told me it was hard to wear a wig.
Mm.
Is it more about nailing the sound, or is it really about the look or the attitude you told me about?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess it's a bit of all of that, isn't it? I mean, like I said, I was in the deep end, so I had to sort of find my way. But I guess I watched, especially when I got into this show.
Yeah.
And the other people in the show had done it for quite a while. So I looked some tapes, recordings, and listened, you know. I just sort of tried to get the essence of it. But I did get the best advice I ever got was from someone in the show in the beginning, because he knew I was new at it. I was very, very new and new to playing theatres too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he said, listen to the records, watch the videos where there is, but then make it your own. Don't become a clone. Because there's no spirit in, and I thought it was the best advice I ever had.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's especially for acting too. You can put it in like a general mention advice for everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, you be a clown. Yeah, you're right.
Or a clone, I should say. No, a clown.
It could be also a clone. Yeah.
Because you can get too obsessed with the detail.
Yeah, you're right.
And then you stop, because you can't bring someone else. Or you have to bring yourself anyway, right?
Yeah.
Even if you try to do something, it's still you.
Yeah.
It can't be the same, but at least you give a flavor.
Yeah.
And then it's me. But it's me doing, you know, playing the song. So I never got a bit obsessed with the good detail, because I thought it was great advice. And it's about entertaining.
Cool.
And it's about bringing. So some people come to me over the years and they go, oh, it's so like George, or it was great. And it's so fantastic to say that I wasn't trying to be perfect.
Yeah, just, yeah.
But bring something that they can relate to. And as long as they
can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And the music, you know, music takes people.
Ooh.
It's so powerful, isn't it? So, and that's the good thing about, well, the hardest thing too was me playing in theaters.
Yeah.
I never used to playing with people sitting down and just staring.
Oh, wow.
Because I was in, you know, audiences,
yeah,
big audiences, but they were, you know, not mosh pits, but you know what I mean? But it was not as intense, but in the theater.
Yeah.
And that was quite, it took me a while to get used to that.
Cool.
It's not my most comfortable place to be on stage.
No, really?
No. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
No,
yeah.
It's probably my most uncomfortable place to be. And I find it amusing after all these years that I keep finding myself in the most uncomfortable place.
That's so
but
funny.
I like playing.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily like
doing good. Yeah, yeah,
but,
of course. Yeah,
but it took me a long time to get used to that.
Wow.
But then the other side of that is you get to see the look on their face, especially the first few rows when the lights aren't in their eyes. You get to see the effect on them. And that's what makes touring good, because every night there's new people.
Yeah.
And they have new reactions. So that's what makes it fun, actually. It's the people every night, and you get to see them from the beginning to the end of the show get emotional,
yeah,
or get excited, or get,
yeah,
and then there's a lot of joy in the room.
Totally. And it's so cool to see them, the mixture of the audience, right?
Yes.
It's not always old or young, so it's a good mixture of people joining us. After performing these songs night after night, do you still find new layers in the music of the Beatles?
Yeah, there's something about those songs. Yeah, it's surprising, because that's one of my most common questions is, do you get sick of playing the same songs every night?
Could be, right? It's similar to act every day.
Yeah,
but you said it before. It's, for me, it's always brand new, because it's every day it's a new stage.
Yes,
there are new audience.
New audience.
So it's always different.
Exactly, yeah. And I went through phases where if I did get a little, you know, if I was playing like 8 shows a week or something, and I would, when I was younger, I used to experiment a bit, like a bit for the audience, a bit for me, to play around with what I was playing. I could play the same notes, but I could play them in a different way. I could sometimes play a bit of ahead or a bit behind, or more dynamic or less dynamic. So I for little periods, I would experiment when if I got bored.
Mm-hmm.
A little, it's awful to say. But I don't get bored anymore because I'm more, I don't know. It's a funny thing. Performers have egos, right? Usually.
Definitely. Yeah.
And I've, over the years, I've lost. It's because I'm not up there to say, look what I can do. I feel I don't know, maybe age helps that. I'm more, what can I give?
Yeah, yeah. Cool, wow.
So that changes everything.
Wow.
Because as a performer now,
this
I go,
good.
How can I help the environment in the room?
Yeah.
I'm contributing something, but the audience are as important.
Yeah.
It's not the performer performs for the audience and the audience sit there. The audience actually makes the environment, don't you think?
Nice point of view.
Because so now I don't go up there saying, look at me, and now I'm not so self-conscious anymore, because it's not about me. I'm sharing,
it's cool,
an experience with, you know, sometimes 2,000 people in the room.
Yeah.
And there is more powerful than me in a way.
Definitely.
But we're in concert together.
Yeah.
So the audience and us together create this atmosphere that's sometimes magic, isn't it? So that's how I never get bored.
Perfect.
Because I'm feeling the energy.
So cool. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. They're really cool. How do audiences in different countries react to the show? Because you did the show almost everywhere in the world, right? You did it in America, Denmark, France,
Japan, Marrakesh, Kazakhstan, everywhere.
Really?
Mexico,
everywhere.
Could you believe that? Everywhere, yeah.
Is there a difference between playing in Berlin versus, let's say, London or the US?
Yeah, big difference. In
really?
In some, in Japan, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are big differences. I don't know. I'll start with America, because America, it's sort of, I don't know, it's more obvious that they're like, whoa, whoa, you know, like excited. And England's a bit more reserved.
Uh-huh.
Germany's interesting.
Yeah.
I think Germany, because they feel it more than they I think I shouldn't generalize, because it's terrible.
Yeah, definitely.
But
right.
Americans, I think, like to, and I did Broadway for a little bit, so I've had that experience of Broadway and the West End for a couple of years. So, and the difference there, going to Broadway and come back to London was like hitting a brick wall.
Wow.
Because, well, we used to all this screaming and stuff. You come back to London, it's a lot more reserved. And so, but Germany love music.
Yeah.
Germans, you can feel it. And even when they're quieter, they're listening.
They're
feeling.
Yeah.
You can. So, and Americans seem to want impress. You know, they want to be impressed.
Yeah.
But Europeans, I think they want, they, I don't know, there's a subtle difference. I shouldn't generalize because it's dangerous. But
it's interesting to see. You know, we still live in Germany. I'm from Berlin as well, but of course. But and this is the thing that I really like and to enjoy when I'm traveling around, because we are all the same but different. Yeah. You know,
exactly.
So this is quite
people
cool.
People all over the world are the same, really. We just express things differently, but all the same. And music hits everybody.
Is definitely. Yeah. Is there or have you ever had a particularly memorable or funny experience on the stage while performing? Is there something
with you? Yes.
Oh, thank you.
A particular experience.
Maybe something.
Well, I guess there's the sort of the bad thing, like you know, the mistakes, or you know, tripping over or something. That's because you're, you know, a bit vulnerable on stage. But generally, the highs are generally the particular moments are just when you feel together with the audience. I think it's, for me, it's always the feeling.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You feel like it's effortless and something magical is happening. I think for me, it's still, and that can happen within the band too, when everything's going really well and you forget, you're out of your head, you're just in the zone. You
know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when the audience is with you too. So I think they're the special moments. And then it makes you forget the, when you trip over or accidents, or you, in the show, your mustache falls off or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's cool. Yeah. I like that. I have something. Because this podcast is named after, you know, So Tickt Berlin. So I need to ask you something around or about Berlin as well. So
good.
Berlin has a big music influence, right? Diverse music scene.
Yes.
How has living and performing here influenced you as a musician? Because you come back to Berlin several times.
Yeah,
you know, you're still part of Berlin, and you know Berlin before and after the wall, right? So that was really interesting to know how maybe changed the music in Berlin for you as an foreign people who come to visit Berlin several times.
Because Berlin's like my home away from home. I've been here so many times, and we base ourselves in Berlin when we're here. You know, I haven't been pre-wall Berlin, but I was here 1 year after the wall came down.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I got a little tour from someone of just, so I only know post-wall, but only 1 year post, so which is, there's such, it's hard to define, because Berlin, I mean, it's funny when you come out of the S-Bahn in any part, it's like a new city, isn't it? Every part of Berlin is so different, but there's, you know, I think there's still a throwback from the 20s when Berlin was the artistic capital of the world.
Could you believe
wasn't
that?
It?
Yeah.
Hmm. It was the center of the universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there was such incredible creativity and originality and things like that. And that was, and I think that carries on even Berlin today.
Yeah.
And the music scene, I think there's a lot of great art made here. And even, you know, something like Friedrichstadt, another area around there, so it's still so arty, and it feels, I don't know, every time I come here and I go around certain areas of Berlin, yeah, I feel more inspired.
Oh, really, yeah?
Yeah, because there's...
And especially in these days,
yeah,
too?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
cool.
It's just, yeah, because there's, I don't know, there's a real edgy, arty thing happening in Berlin still, do you think?
It's really hard, you know. For me, it's always for me, it's always I have a suitcase staying in my apartment, you know, and I always want to go and leave the city.
Right.
And when I'm somewhere, not in Berlin, maybe on vacation, or on tour, I still miss Berlin.
Right.
And then I come back and I feel kind of stressed after a couple of weeks. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of this huge, big city, and it's always changing. And for me, of course, I couldn't live anywhere else than in Berlin, in Germany, because you told us before, it got so many different kind of faces. You know, there's no one big center. There are a lot of centers, and that makes it always so special for me. But of course, everything changed. Berlin changed as well. So sometimes there are really nice and good aspects about changing in Berlin, and sometimes I feel very, because I knew Berlin during the time before the wall came down, because I grew up in West Berlin, and it was really special, you know, like a big island, and it was more like a big family, and now it's lost that, it's, of course, it's more influenced what I like, you know, different kind of nations, food. So for me, it was really interesting to see how is it for you,
because really outsider, I think we somewhere, a city where we're born, we have a different view than an outsider does. And when I come to Berlin, because it's so different, that my eyes are wide open, and I'm taking in all the influences, because it's so different.
Yeah.
I think maybe if you live there, we don't tend not to look so much in our own city, do we? So that might be the you know, the reason why, maybe.
Is there a life for John Brosnan without the Beatles show? So what are you doing when you're not doing the shows?
When I'm not doing the shows? Well, I'm doing other music. Which is important.
Yeah, of course. Right? You have to.
Important. And I write my own music, which is important, which I'm more and more enjoying more and more.
Cool.
Because I'm particularly, you know, because I'm not so young anymore, you know.
What? I can't see that.
So it sort of takes away, you know, because when I was younger, you know, like all musicians really, I want to write songs and be famous. And I let that go a long time ago. And now I can write for myself, for purely that, because I enjoy it. And it's sort of very free. So I do that.
Cool.
So I love doing that, writing music. And I work in other, you know, and some music for projects a little bit, but more so songs for myself.
Yeah, cool.
So I write, I play with other people, which is fun. No, so I mean, I love music. It's been since I was 10, you know. It's been my life, really.
Two more questions, if you could meet George Harrison, maybe in personal, you can't meet him anymore because he's dead, but... Maybe
he's in the air.
You can channel him. If you could meet George Harrison for a coffee today, what's the one question you would ask him?
Oh, that's interesting. I'd probably want to. Well, no, because I've seen some interviews with him.
Yeah,
and he's an interesting person in a way, because I think we know even during the fame, he got into religion and philosophy and questioning life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I,
similar to you, I like that.
So I it'd be interesting to have a conversation. But is there a question for him? I don't know, because I think I've heard he talk, because he often gives really good interviews when he talks about that, and just talk about the illusion of fame, and it's not what you think it is, and it doesn't make everything perfect. It becomes with its problems and stuff. So I guess, you know, and I've heard him talk about that. And so it'd be interesting to talk about, and it's about his religious views I'd be interested in, and ask him about his philosophies and more so the music, probably. Maybe.
I read that he produced A Life of Brian.
Yes. Yeah.
Could you believe that?
Yeah, he loved the humor of...
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so he backed it, because he thought... There's a spoof film with the Monty Python people of the Beatles called The Ruttles.
Ah.
And he was in it. He thought it was hilarious to make fun of the Beatles.
Cool.
So he acted in it,
Wow.
Or I think he produced it too, maybe, or co-produced,
And have you ever heard about that? Because you grew up in, you was born in Australia, Perth, right?
Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Of course. but, you know.
It's only 4 hours away. It's close enough.
No, but there was a writer, and he got his, the same name. He's named like you, John Brosnan. He was writing science fiction
Stuff. Science fiction, yeah.
And he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead now, yeah.
But you know him?
No, I don't know him. And he's
have you heard about his name or his writings?
Yeah, I've heard of him, and I think it's fantastic. I love him, and I'll tell you why I love him. because if anything tries to search me on the internet, he's the first seven pages are him, so I can hide. So because I don't want things on the internet, so I love him. He's great.
That's so cool. Yeah. Okay. So
anyone listening, don't go to page 8 of the Google search engines. Stay on the first 7 pages and read about him because he's interesting.
I will do that. So what's next for you? And do you see yourself continuing this role for years to come? Hopefully. Or are there other musical dreams you'd like to pursue? What's coming next? We will play the show until the mid of February, something like that. You're doing 2 shows in Berlin as well.
Yes.
And then we are going to back to Hamburg in the summer. Right. But is there something?
Yeah, I've got some other. I mean, yes. But if
cool.
I'll go back because
we have to editing it, one
yes,
film,
yeah,
right?
We're editing a film. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I've got some projects. I've been working on it because I do video editing and film voiceover recording. Uh-huh. I do a lot of that in England too. So I've got other things I do. But this show has always been, you know, we'll see how long it happens. You know, this industry is right because I remember when I was maybe in my 19 or something. 20 maybe, I woke up a few times with my heart was beating and I was woke up having a nightmare.
Why?
And guess what my nightmare, it was only a few times, but my recurring dream, guess what it was? I woke up in the morning sweating and going, there's no more work, I have to get a day job. There's no more music work.
Yeah.
And that was my worst, that was like going to jail. I'd have to get a day job and there's no more gigs. And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Now I don't worry about
it. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood, exactly. Now I wouldn't worry about that if I had to, but thankfully it keeps, you know,
running.
Keeps going. So yeah. But I have a lot of other things. So
good.
Yeah. But hopefully the show, you know, that people love the show. Hopefully it runs. You know, we're not finished yet. Maybe we'll see.
We will see. Yeah. I cross my fingers. So
as long as the people still like it and keep coming, and
I hope so too, because it was so pleasure to meet you guys. I really like that, to staying on a stage, and I pretty much like to going on tour.
Yeah,
more fun than just doing it maybe in the Astral. Yeah. I like the Astral, of course. It's cool doing there, especially in the summertime, and so it's really special to go to the beer garden as well after the show or before the show without. And beer, of course. But on tour is always special. And even Hamburg, right? The Beatles were, they were born in Hamburg.
Exactly.
Right? Hamburg.
Yeah. And it is nice to see. Well, you know, Berlin's always special because that's where the show is based and sort of comes out of Berlin. But you know, to get to go on tour, too, is fun because you get to see other places and, you know, to walk around Freiburg or something. They're like the old market town the other day was just, You know, I was just walking around so happy going, how am I this lucky that I get to play a show like this, to travel, to go spend the afternoon having a look around the old church in Freiburg or the market and stuff like that, and then go back and do a show. And I'm thinking, wow, is there, special, right?
Is there, besides Berlin, of course, another nice town in Germany you like?
No, only Berlin. Yes. No, there's plenty of places. I think that one of the nice things about touring was to see all these little towns that I would never get to. Or taking a train from Frankfurt to Koblenz.
Yeah.
The scenery along the river, you know, along the Rhine, and there's castles on the wall. So there's been many benefits, but Berlin's always sort of home.
Yeah, is it, right?
Yeah.
And
for this show.
And you still lived almost everywhere. You know, you traveled around the world,
Yeah.
Right? you like the Beatles. You went to India, America.
Yes, in India. Yeah.
Have you ever been to Africa as well?
North Africa. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Probably about 50 countries, maybe.
Jesus.
Playing.
Christ.
So it's a lot. Yeah. And to Mexico.
Working and traveling.
Working and traveling. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, very lucky, isn't it? See so many. Although sometimes, you know, like, you know, on touring, sometimes you see the airport, the hotel, and the venue.
Yeah.
And other times you're lucky to get to see a bit more. Yeah.
Like in Bregenz. That was a nice, cool hotel, right? That was beautiful. Yeah. John, it's really special to talk to you, and I appreciate that. It's so cool, and we could even talk much more about you and your life and your lifestyle.
Part two.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe could I ask you for a second part?
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Maybe in Hamburg we could have another.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
yes.
Chat. That would be great.
Yes. So call in if you want to hear more.
Yeah. If you have questions, the number is 112211 and come there. No, we here.
My hotel room is number.
After this commercial, we coming back. So, no.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Last words.
Last words.
God bless you.
Enjoy the music and enjoy the moment.
Ooh. I will make a t-shirt about for that. That is cool. No, thank you so much, John.
You.
I hug you later. Besides the microphone, you know, no one has to take care of that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Could you just sing something for the audience before we go? You sing something special.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite songs. You just playing is Here Comes the Sun. Of course, I really like that song.
Oh, yeah. Go sing it.
Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun. Woo! So, thank you so much. Und an euch da draußen, Dankeschön fürs Zuhören. Ich glaube, es war vielleicht mal ganz spannend, ein paar Insights von der Beatles-Show zu bekommen, von jemandem, der die schon seit seit 2001 macht. Ich sage danke fürs Zuhören und denkt dran, bleibt zuversichtlich und fröhlich. Tschüss!
Tschüss.
So tickt Berlin. Dein Podcast von und mit Nikolai Tegeler.